Praise the Lord. Well, today, we've been talking a lot about faith, haven't we? Is faith necessary?
Yes.
I mean, the Bible says that we ought to have it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Without faith, it's impossible to please.
Please Him. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to title this message this morning, and you'll see where faith comes in a little bit, but I'm going to title this message this morning, Putting the First Thing First. Putting the First Thing First. Hebrews 11:6. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews 11:6. That's one. Hebrews 11:6, and it says this: but without faith, it is sometimes not possible.
No, that's impossible.
Oh, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Webster's definition of diligence. I mean, it says it's impossible to please Him, but we must diligently please Him. Doesn't it say that? I mean, it said, diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. That's what it says. Oh, I wanted to find out what it means by diligent, because if I got to be diligent, I better know what it means, right? Mm-hmm. This is what Webster says. The etymology of diligent reflects the fact that affection can lead to energetic effort. The word, which entered English in the 14th century by way of Anglo-French, descends from a Latin verb meaning to value or esteem highly or to love. To value or esteem highly or to love. We're talking about being diligent. What you're diligent at, what you're being diligent about, that's what you highly esteem and you love. Mm-hmm. And you know, we see that in the world all the time. I mean, the world, oh, I just love this. Oh, I love that. Oh, I, you know, this, that. And you know, a lot of Christians are that way. The only thing I have to say is, but we got to put first things first. Nothing wrong with having things. My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in it. He'll give us things. He gives us all things to enjoy. But the only problem is, we got to put first things first. Amen? So, it means to value or esteem something highly. When you couple that with Romans 10:17, everybody remembers what Romans 10:17 says. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One can easily see how he values the Word will show the degree of faith he will obtain. What value are you putting on the Word? Is your faith working for you? Then I've got a question for you this morning. What is the value you're putting on the Word of God? How diligent are you being when the Word of God is concerned? Amen? How diligent? How are you putting value on that? How are you esteeming the Word of God? Are you loving the Word of God? Remember, I said putting first things first. You know, there are a lot of things we could get involved with as Christians that are good. And I'll talk more about this a little later, but we could get so busy and involved in things that are good, but they're not first things first. See, if we put God's Word first, He'll show us the order of things. Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Let's get into this a little bit further. The more value you place on what you hear will determine your understanding of what you hear. Now, you know that to be true. If you're married, you do. You know what I mean? Because sometimes you put more value on your spouse's words than at others. Hello, don't go to sleep on me out there. You ever have your spouse talking to you about something, but you're involved in something else. And she's saying something that may be important. Don't look at me like that. You know what I'm saying. It may be important. But it's going right over your head because you're not valuing that word at that time. You don't have any understanding. And this is the truth. She'll say, did you understand what I said? If you're honest. And it works vice versa. Sometimes you wives are caught in the same thing too. If you're honest, sometimes you say, well, not really. I wasn't listening. I had my attention and my mind on something else. Amen? Mm-hmm. But see, when it comes to the Word of God, God wants our whole attention. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Look at what it says over in Mark 4. Mark chapter 4. And verse, well, we'll begin with verse 23, or verse 20. Do I want to go back that far? No, let's go to verse 23, Orc. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. And if you plug the word understanding in there, and read it this way. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who understand, more will be given. For whoever has understanding, more will be given. But whoever does not have understanding, what he has will be taken away from him. And we know that to be true. Because I can have understanding today. I'm sitting there, I'm understanding. But you know what? If I don't use it, if I'm not diligent about it, even what I have, I lose it.
Yeah.
Have you ever studied something and then not used it for a long time? And you understood it when you studied it, but after a while, you don't remember everything.
Right.
You don't get everything. Your understanding is a little bit dull. Mm-hmm. See, when it comes to the Word of God, we can't afford that. When it comes to the Word of God, we can't afford it. We got to keep putting first things first. Amen. Praise the Lord. The more attention, time you give to something shows how you value it.
That's right.
The more attention, that is, the more time you give to something shows you how you value it. Go back to Proverbs, one of our core scriptures we use here, and I use it all the time, and Pastor Tom used it, but it's good. Proverbs 4:20 says this, my son, give attention to my words. Pay attention. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all
diligence.
There's that word again, isn't it? For out of it spring the issues of life. What you put in your heart, what you pay attention to goes into your heart. What you're paying attention to, the words that you pay attention to are in your heart. And the Bible says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What are you being diligent about? Are you really being diligent about the Word of God? Are we really diligent? Or are we got it caught up in, and it's easy to do this day. How many know we're in a very busy society?
Yeah.
We're in an instant society. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want my cake and I want it now. I don't like coffee, so I don't go to fast food. No, I'm just saying, whatever we want it now.
Right.
We want it now. We don't want to wait for it. Fast food has gotten there, but that just carries over in everything else we want, because now gratification. We want everything, and boy, and boy, the marketers know that too, don't they? Because they have a way of marketing things, and they bring out a new, Apple brings out a new iPhone or a new watch or whatever, and boy, they really market that good. Everybody's got to have the latest and greatest. And a few years ago, and it's probably still true, that it was that way with shoes. Boy, Nike bringing out a new pair of shoes, everybody had to have it, and you paid for it. And sometimes you sacrificed for that. And sometimes you borrowed for that and put yourself in debt. See, you're being diligent about the wrong thing. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The more attention time you give to something shows the more value you the value you place on it, how you value it. Now, go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Remember I said putting the first thing first. Luke 5, and I want to look at... Well, let's just read the whole story. Let's go back up to verse 12, and you'll get the whole account here. And it happened when he was in a certain city, and behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face, imploring him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but to go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more. And great multitudes came together to do what? To be healed, right?
Yes.
Came together to be healed by him.
To hear
and be healed by him of their infirmities. Mm-hmm. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. They came to do what?
Hear
and be healed. And I went to school, as you know, out at Rhema, and I'd sit there and hear Brother Hagin talk about, you know what? He would encourage people to get in the morning meeting and hear faith before they get in the prayer line, because the hearing of faith produced something. Being diligent about what you hear, measuring what you hear, feeding your word what you hear, was diligent when it comes to receiving. When it came to receiving healing.
Yes.
Can I give a short testimony on that?
Okay.
When I was in the Easter play, I played that part for like 6 or 7 days. I was the leper. And when I got called up, and Jesus even says, go and tell no one. The anointing was on me, because the anointing was on the whole play. And I was like, run through the crowd shouting, he healed me. I kind of asked the same question. He said not to. Why was I not obeyed? And the story is that you cannot help but to share when something that great happens. Well, something happened to me that I knew that happened to another guy. I bumped into him, and he went down. This guy turned out having a healing ministry for the next 3 years. And I'm serious. It was a true healing ministry. He went to school. He laid hands on the sick, and they recovered. And it answers that question that you just said, is that when you hear the word, it manifests itself.
Mm-hmm.
You said it twice today, and that was something I always suspected, but you just backed it up with what you're teaching right now. That word came alive.
Amen. The word comes alive. Hear and be healed. Now let's go to Luke 6:17. See, Jesus didn't do this. This didn't happen to Jesus at one time. It was over and over again. And listen, that's why it's so important when we're going out there. What are we called to do? To lead 60 souls to the kingdom this year? What are they looking for? They're looking for words that will save them. They're not going to get saved without the hearing.
That's right.
Hearing what? Words of faith that will save them. Amen. Let's look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 17. And he came down with them and stood at a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from Judah and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. Hear and be healed, putting first things first. Many want to be healed, and not hear. It's amazing how many want to be healed and they don't want to hear the word. Oh, I just want it all, but I don't want to put any effort out. I don't want to be diligent about it. I just want you to pray for me. And I guess, you know, if God wants to heal me, why he'll just heal me if it's his will. Jesus answered that question about if it is his will when the leper came to him. Yeah. If it be your will, you could heal me. What did Jesus say? I will. You don't have to say, well, if it's God's will, then I'll get something. No. Until you're willing to put first things first and put the word of God first and to hear the word of God, more than likely, you won't get anything from God. And I'll tell you something else. If you did get something from God and you weren't diligent about the word of God that brought that to you, the knowledge of it, if you weren't diligent about it in the first place, guess what's going to happen? It won't stay there. Because the first thing that the enemy does when he comes along and begins to tempt you and prod you and say, did you really get something? And he puts pain back on there where you had pain before. Well, I guess I didn't get anything. Because you don't have any word to back you up. But if you've been hearing the word of God, and the Bible says, by his stripes I am healed, and you know his word, praise God, when it comes to his word, praise God, and the devil comes and puts that pain and tries to pray, no, devil, you don't understand. I was healed, I am healed, because by his stripes I was healed, I am healed. And you stand diligent on the word of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah, praise God. Diligent on the word. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So people that just want healed and don't want to hear, they seldom get anything. Jesus went about, look at Matthew 9:35. It's one we've used in the last couple of weeks, but it's a good one. You need to hear it again. Then Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Do you notice what he did? He went about all Jerusalem, their villages, and teaching in their synagogue. But really, he went about healing, didn't he?
Yes.
Did he go about healing? That was the first thing he did, was heal. What was it? Teaching and preaching. If you're teaching and preaching, what are you doing? You are putting forth the word so that somebody can hear.
Mm-hmm.
Hear. We first got to hear. Till we hear, nothing happens. That's why it's so important. You know, as a pastor, I've heard this a few times. Because people come in and they, well, Pastor, I've heard that before. I've heard that before. Tell me something new. The problem is, they heard it, but they're not hearing it. Do you notice that the Bible never said faith comes by having heard the word? If all you've done is heard the word, that won't produce faith. Faith never came by having heard the word. If faith came by having heard the word, all of us will be masters of faith. Because we've all heard the word. But it's not until we hear the word that faith comes. Hearing and hearing. So if you hear the word, what do? We keep hearing it and 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 hearing it, hearing it and hearing it. Faith comes by hearing, not having heard. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. So Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Look at Matthew 4:23, says, and Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytic, and he healed them. But he did first what? He about teaching, preaching. Teaching and preaching. And then everything else. I'm going to give you that another time, another way. Here in a minute, just another way. Because it's teaching and preaching and healing. Okay, let's keep going. You're right there in Matthew. Just turn over a page or two to Matthew chapter 6. Remember I said putting first things first. 33. But seek when you get around to it.
No.
If you have time for it.
No.
If it's convenient.
No.
If you don't have anything else to do.
No.
If Ohio State's not playing football.
No.
No, it says seek first the kingdom of God. Now, I'll have to confess to you all, I did watch that football game last night, and it was a good football game. Amen. To you, those who watched it, you know what I'm saying. To those that don't care, don't worry about it. Just go on down the road. Hallelujah. But I've learned to do one thing, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm going to give you this in terms of prayer. Because prayer is something that we all need to do, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
This is free. I'm kind of off subject here a little bit, but it's okay. But how many have tried to come before God, and we've all heard the sermon, well, you need to pray at least an hour a day. Actually, if you want to be technical about it, 10%, some people are going to, you need to pray 2.4 hours a day. Anybody ever sat down and tried to pray 2.4 hours in one setting?
Mm-hmm.
Not easy to do if you've done it. Because what are you doing? What are you doing if you're sitting there for an hour or two praying? You're looking at your watch because you've prayed 5 minutes and, oh, it must have been at least 15, 20 minutes. Been only 5 minutes. So, well, you go back and you try again and 15 minutes. And, oh, I know I've been an hour. No, because your mind's not on the right thing. And that's not what Jesus intended. Didn't the Bible say for us to pray without ceasing?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How can you pray without ceasing? Well, Andrew Womack's been teaching some, and I've been listening to it, and I agree with it. It's some really good teaching. And it's just simply this. You go out throughout the day, and you have a conversation with God.
Yeah.
You're in His presence all the time.
Yeah.
You may be talking to Him, but as you're talking to Him, you may be praying in the Spirit, and praying in the Spirit, that's the heavenly, that's God's language.
Mm-hmm.
He understands it. You're communicating with God. You're praying. And then sometimes you pray in English, but you're sitting there having a conversation all day long. You can do this at work. I mean, I at least I can. I'm sitting there and I'm now. Sometimes I got to be a little more alert on things and I get. But after you do one, and I got 50 of these things to do, after about the third or fourth one, it becomes automatic. You know, you're just hooking up things and twisting things around and tweaking that thing in, unless something's going wrong and you'll catch it, then you got to back up. So it's plenty of time to get in a conversation with the Lord. It's plenty of time to give Him the praise and to honor Him and just to get before Him.
Yes.
Amen. And so I, in the end of the day, have I prayed? Oh yeah, because I've been in conversation with Him. Isn't that what prayer is? Conversation with our Heavenly Father. It's communication. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And the Bible says, that we, and if we, you want to know how to pray and have a conversation with God, He says, my words, they are spirit and they are life. So sometimes all you're doing is saying, Lord, what about this word? What about what you meant over here in this word? I don't fully understand this word, but I'm just asking you to show me and to enlighten me. That's prayer. You're praying, you're asking God for help and enlightenment, and he's talking with you.
Yes.
And you're praying constantly that way. What's this doing? It's also putting you in the Spirit.
That's right.
Because when you're talking with Him, the things of the world, the things that you see, that you can feel and see out there, are taking a back row seat.
Amen.
But the things of the Spirit, the unseen things, are coming first. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. To seek first the kingdom of God implies an attitude of worship. How do you seek God? Worship. There's a balance. Because if I were to ask you a question, how many here want to serve God? Every hand will go up. We all want to serve God, right? But there's a balance between serving God and worshiping God. Many times we're serving God because we feel like that's our duty to do. We got to serve God and we're wanting to please God and we're going to do it by through our service, even though service can be a good thing. But, oh, that's how we're pleasing God. See, God, I've done all of it. You know, he even said in his word, there's going to be some standing before him. Well, did we not cast out devils in your name? And he's going to say to him, what? Depart from me. I never knew you. Were they not doing it? I mean, you can be doing a good thing. And not necessarily what God wants. It's not in order. You've got everything out of it. Because you think what you're doing is, God, I did this, this, and this, and this. And that means when it comes to you, I'll just walk right on, no problems. Well, you know what? Many people out in the world are thinking exactly the same thing. They're thinking, service. God, I'm basically a good person. I've done good things. I've done good deeds. I did this. I did that. I did this. And when it comes to standing before you, they just think they're just going to walk right on into heaven. They did good things. But service doesn't get you in. Service doesn't get you in the door. See, there's got to be a balance between worship and service. And as we worship him, praise God. And we're putting him first, glory to God. Seeking first the kingdom of God, worshiping him. And then he says to us exactly how he wants us to serve. As we worship him. And we're standing before him having this conversation back and forth. And he says to us, I want you to go here. I want you to do this. Now, you've got the balance right. I'm not doing that to earn my way into heaven. I'm not doing that to earn brownie points with God. I'm worshiping you, Father. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. And all of these other things will be added unto you. You know, we get so busy sometimes. Well, and then back at Matthew 6:33, if you go back to about verse 20, 25, it talks about, you know, birds of the air, and you got to have a house to live in, and you got to have clothes and all of that. And we all want to worry about those things, and we've got to really put on all of this. And so we begin to serve things because we think we need things. And Jesus said, no. What you need is one thing. Seek first the kingdom of God. Worship me, and I'll show you how to serve me. It's not serve me, and then I'll show you how to worship me. It's worship first, and then serve. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Because we can get distracted by things. Things can distract us, right?
Yeah.
Now I want you to turn with me to a scripture. Romans chapter 8. We're talking about things. Not seeking after things, but things. Now look at Romans 8. And I always like to put things in context. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Praying in the Spirit. When we don't know how to pray, when we're in conversation with the Father and we don't know what, Lord, well, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to have to do it in the Spirit. with groanings, which you can't understand it in the natural. But it's a spiritual language, and Heavenly Father understands it, and your spirit within you understands it, and praise God, you're communicating. But look, let's read on here. Now he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28 is the one I wanted to get to. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. And I'm here to tell you that all things are not working together for your good. You've heard me say this before. Do you not realize that you have an enemy out there? Mm-hmm. Anybody ever run across an enemy called the devil?
Yes.
Does he ever try to put up a roadblock for you?
All the time.
Does he ever try to disrupt your today and create problems? You ever been going down the highway and have your car quit? I had a new car, a nearly new car. And we were going, it was 1976. It was a current year model. It had been a lease car, so it had been out there and had a few miles on it, but it was still a new car in terms of the year model. It had, I don't know, 15, maybe 30,000 miles on it by that time. It had a few miles on when we got it, but it was still a new car. We left Indiana to go back to Oklahoma. And I got as far as Terre Haute, Indiana, and I'm driving down the highway just thinking, well, everything's good and everything's going well. And we just had a good visit, and God's good, and all is well, right? And the car quit. I mean, it just shut down right now. It just, boom, it just shut off. There was no starting it. It wasn't going to do anything. You know why? Because I lost the timing belt. The timing belt went out, and I lost the harmonic balancer on the front of the motor. All of that fell off, and it wasn't going to start. There's no way. I had to be towed in. And it cost, well, I had to put a starter on it at the time, too, because the starter was bad. I didn't realize it, but it was bad. I spent several hundred dollars, and everything was going well. And I'm driving down the road, and boom, it quit. The enemy put up a fight. There's an enemy out there, what I'm saying. I mean, all things, and that wasn't working to my good. It didn't work to my good. I mean, I had to be towed into the Chevrolet dealer, and was this on a Sunday when we were going back? I don't think the dealer was open.
I don't remember. We wound up going home in a different car.
But we had to get the bus, and home back in Richmond where my folks were was closer than Oklahoma. So we rode the bus all the way back and stopped at every little town on the way. I mean, we stopped everywhere. And we got back in, and Dad had an extra car, so we had to get another car and start all over and go back to Oklahoma. That wasn't working to my good, folks. You know what I'm talking about. You've had those experiences. So when it says here, all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. You got to get it in contact. You got to understand what's happening. Because all things are not designed to work for your good. But it did say all things work for my good. And I want you to notice all things. So things. 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 Problems. How are they going to work for your good? I'll give you the illustration that Brother Copeland used. And it was a new use of this scripture. You know what? Brother Copeland likes to fly airplanes, and he was someplace with his team, and they were getting ready to fly out. And the plane was, he was getting ready to head to the airport, and the crew was already ahead of him, and they were having a problem with the airplane. The door was shut, and they couldn't open it. The handle would work, but the door wouldn't open. They tried everything. Nothing was happening. They even called the company and they said, well, yeah, we can come out, and what we'll have to do, we'll have to drill a hole in the airplane to get in and do this and get it all fixed. Brother Copeland said, they're not drilling a hole in my airplane. So he went to prayer. And he was praying to the Lord. And the Lord showed him, he says, and he was asking the Lord, what do I do? He said, well, you know, did you ever notice Romans 8:28, it says all things work together for good. Isn't that door a thing? Isn't it supposed to work for your good? So instead of having a problem with the door, he began to pray about it, and the Lord took care of it, and the door opened. But this is how he found out about it. He was still headed to the airport, and the guy who was supposed to meet him up at the terminal was going to the terminal. He said, I'm going to go back one more time. This is after Brother Copeland had prayed. I'm going to try that door. Lo and behold, the door opened. That door was a thing. All things. And that door is supposed to work for my good. So what am I saying? You use it in the little everyday things of life. You pray about everything. I'll give you a personal example. It happens to me all the time. Because I never lose anything. You know why? Because I'm praying, okay, Lord, you know where that is. Show me. The other day, well, I can give you two instances. The other day, on my tablet, got what do they call those things? Stylus. And it fits into in my tablet. And I didn't have it with me. Didn't know where it was. Couldn't remember what had happened to it. And I went looking for it. I was at work when it happened. I looked at work. It wasn't there at work. So, okay, I'm going to look at home. I look at home, and I've got a chair I sit in, and I got a table next to it. And I looked all around that, looked in that chair, even felt down along the side of the chair and in the back of the chair, even picked the chair up and looked underneath because it might have fallen through and dropped on the floor. I couldn't find it. I could not find that. Didn't know what, so I had to get another stylus. I got another one. Doesn't fit as nice, work as nice as that one did. But I was praying, okay, Lord, you know where that stylus is. I'm just asking you to bring it to the top. Bring it to the top. And I was at work when I was praying that way. I was talking to the Lord at work. I didn't think anything more of it. I got home. Still had that on my mind. You know what I did? I went over to my chair. The chair I sit in. And it was sitting right on top of the seat of my chair. Right out in plain sight. I should have seen it. I asked him to bring it to the top, didn't I?
Yeah.
He did. You remember the school of the prophets? And they were building the school and they had axes. Remember what happened to that? Happened? One of the students had borrowed an axe and he was chopping the tree and the axe head fell off and fell into the
river.
And what did the prophet do? Prophets in the Old Testament, he just did what God told him to do. And in this case, he threw a stick in. Didn't he? Mm-hmm. And where he threw that stick in, that axe head became floating up to the top.
Yeah.
See, when you're putting first things first, doing what God says to do first, things fall into place.
Amen.
The other day, I was mowing my yard. Well, that just happened yesterday. And I been cleaning up my garage, straightening up my garage, putting things away and trying to make room in there and all of that. And I got in a file cabinet and I put things in the file cabinet and clearing off my workbench. And I need string for my trimmer. And I'd put it someplace. I couldn't remember where I put it. Because I usually like to hang things up where I used to. But now I got all the drawers and everything. I'm putting them in different places. And I'm looking for it. I'm looking on the bench. I couldn't find it. I said, Lord, you know where it is. And I'm looking around. All of a sudden, I looked at the file cabinet. That's right. Walked over to the file cabinet, knew what drawer to pull, and there it was, sitting right on top. See, you can pray and you can be in fellowship with God, and the whole day just goes because He's showing you. He's leading you by His Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
As you're fellowshipping and communicating with in word. Amen. Praise the Lord. It just excites me to see God doing things like that. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. See, when you got a purpose in mind, listen, when you're called of God, you don't have time to be wasting having to hunt for something that's lost. The Holy Spirit knows where it is. He's got something better for you to do. Time is valuable to God.
Yes.
How much time do you value His Word? Are you spending time with Him so He can show you where things are so you don't have to waste time? Just a thought. Okay. Now, I want us to turn to Luke's gospel. Remember, we're talking about putting first things first. Go to chapter 10. I'm going to begin reading with verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village. This is not a parable. This is an actual event that happened. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Things got in Martha's way. Okay? And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. See, we can either be all things working together, or we can be worried and troubled. And when we're worried and troubled, they're not working to our good because we're frustrated. We got so much to do today. I don't know how I'm going to get it all done. Hello, am I talking to anybody out there? Anybody ever been there?
Yes.
Hallelujah. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Now, since I've learned that I like other translations, I want to read that translation, read the passage in some other translations for you. First, I'm going to read it in the Amplified. And this is what it says in the Amplified. Now, while they were on their way, Jesus entered a village called Bethany, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was continually, do you hear that word, continually listening to his teaching. First thing first, she was continually listening to his teaching. But Martha was very busy and distracted with all of her serving responsibilities. And she approached him and said, Lord, is it of no concern to you? Now, isn't that just like we are sometimes? Lord, I've got all these concerns. Aren't you concerned with me? And do you ever try to get the Lord concerned with what you're doing? And he wouldn't be. He said, I'm no concern to you that my sister has left me to do all this serving. Tell her to help me and do her part. But the Lord replied to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered and anxious about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, that which is to her advantage. What's to your advantage? The Word of God. You want to have an advantage? You want to have an advantage over things? You want to have an advantage over the devil? Put the word first, which will not be taken from her. Okay. Let's go to the Message Bible. See what the Message Bible says. Here's the Message Bible. As they continued their travel, Jesus entered a village. A woman by the name of Martha welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. She had a sister, Mary, who sat before the Master, hanging on every word he said. Are you hanging on every word Jesus says? Hanging on every word he said. But Martha was pulled away by all she had to do in the kitchen. Later, she stepped in, interrupting them. Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned the kitchen to me? Tell her to lend me a hand. The Master said, Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course and won't be taken from her.
Amen.
It's the main course, folks, the Word of God. It's the main thing we have to do is go to the Word of God.
Yes.
in the eyes of God. If we do the main course, guess what? Everything else works out. I like that. It's the main course, the Word of God. Well, let's read it out of one more. The NLT. As Jesus and his disciples continued their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work?" Have you ever felt like that? You're doing all the work and somebody else is just off reading the Bible or listening to the Lord or doing something. Don't they understand I've got all this work to do? "Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details." Hello, anybody ever gotten upset about details? I got my hand up. It's there. "There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from you, from her." Have you discovered the one thing that can't be taken away from you yet? It's the Word of God. The Bible says it cannot be taken from you if you put it first place.
Praise.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, we're talking about the Word. Putting the Word first place. Putting first things first. Putting the first thing first. And Jesus even put order to it. I know that, praise God, it's exciting, praise God, to see all of the excitement and all the miracles and being a servant and see what God is doing. And he's healing this one, he's doing that one. And we talked about it, how Brother Copeland and Brother Hagin both have said, the Lord told him to punch somebody in the stomach and that gorder just, that's exciting. We want to see all of that. Amen? It's there. But I want you to know that that's not the first thing with Jesus. Go with me, if you will, to... Okay, it's 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians. How many know that God put the fivefold ministry in the church? We know that from Ephesians. First apostles, then prophets, then evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28, he put an order to it. Let's look at that order. And God appointed these in the church first. Apostles, secondary, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. What did Jesus go about doing? Teaching, preaching, and healing. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing. What came first? And he said, first, he put in the church, first, apostles, second, prophets, thirdly, teachers. After that, that means miracles and gifts of healings come what? Somewhere down the line, fourth, fifth at least. Can't be one, two, three. He put an order to that. I'm not ordering those. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit did that. Putting first things first. I'm going to tell you this, though. If you put first things first, will you see healings and miracles and all of these things? You will. You'll see. Because they will follow. But if we're not seeing them, then maybe we need to get before our Father and spend time just putting first things first. Just having a conversation. Just like talking face to face with somebody. You're having a conversation. Praying. Okay, Lord, I'm putting you first. I'm putting your Word first. I don't understand this about your Word. I just don't understand. This is something that I've just never really understood. I'd like to know about this. I'm having this problem over here, Father, but your Word, I need to know this. And he says, okay. Have you ever noticed this? And he takes you to another word. He shows you that and he begins to expound it to you. He's still got a problem. But by the time he gets through explaining the word to you, you have the answer to your problem. Amen? Amen. I know we can get busy. I know we can think, boy, I tell you, I just think it ought to be this way. I think this, I think that, and I think this. I've had a lot of people come up to me and tell me, I think this, I think that. And in my opinion, I stopped them right there when they said, in my opinion. You know why I stopped them? I said, you don't have a right to your opinion in this matter. What does the Word say? And if your opinion is not lining up with the Word of God, and if somebody is not doing what you think they ought to be doing, or not doing what you want them to do at the time you want them to do it, then go to the Word of God. And say, God, did I get things out of order here? Am I doing things wrong? Is something going on? I got to put first things first. And go back to the Word and let the Word of God teach you. And you know what he might say? He said, no, you're not out of order. They're not listening yet. But I want you to stay right here. They're out of order. But you stay with the Word. I'll take care of them. You pray in the Spirit. All things will work out for good to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. Yes. So because they're not doing what they're supposed to do, what you know they're supposed to do, you don't worry about it. They're not your problem. You're not going to change them anyway. Anybody had an argument that you won? How do you win an argument? If you win an argument, somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. There's no winners or losers. I mean, there's both losers in an argument. Because if you're having an argument and it may look like, well, I won that one, didn't I? Did you really? You may have won the battle but lost the war. Because it may have not have meant a hill of beans when you look at the whole picture. See what I'm saying? If they're not doing what you think they're doing, and you've got an opinion, oh no. Lord, I thank you for taking care of them. Help me, Father, to understand and put things into right order. Give me the order. Let me look to your word and let me watch your word work this thing out. Because I know what you're telling me. I know, Father. But I want your will. I want your way. Yes. Hallelujah. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Let's stand, shall we? Hallelujah. Let's just worship him. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, we come to you, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God. You showed us, Father God, that we are to put your word first. And Father, you've showed us how to do it. We worship you, Father. We praise you. We honor you, Father. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, Baba Sobri Bebedele Babahande. Worship him. Abasi Briandere Babasi Kariahande. Ambariata Satiande. Ambadi Sakaya. Ungomani Sahande. Shandari leba basoko brita kare batiti kiyata leba. Oh, batiti bas. Aba basoko brita kare batiti kaprita kata tata tiyande. Baba de kosu ti kiyata leba basam batiti de basata tata tiyase kiyande. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Oh, hallelujah, Father.
But rather you are, Lord. In life, there's nothing else. Nothing else is important.
Oh, hallelujah.
And Lord, that we would seek you first above all else, Lord. We thank you, Lord, as we seek you, Lord, that you take care of everything else. Father, we thank you as we look to your word and we look to your Holy Spirit in guiding us and leading us, Father, that we will follow you, Lord, and you make the path right for us, Lord. It'll be a happy and joyful way to go. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, that as time is going on, Father, that we'll see more and more our eyes being enlightened.
Thanks, Father. Seeing more and more what is important in life, in you, in Christ Jesus, and not the things of the world, because those things come and go, and they're not important, Lord, but rather that you are important, that you will be the most important to us, Lord, that we look to you. We don't look, and we're not distracted by other things, Father, but first and foremost, see you. See you, Lord, and want you, and put you first in our lives, Lord. Help us, Father, to see you first. Help us to look to you first, Lord, above all else, because you are God, you're our Father, and you are faithful and true and good. And Lord Jesus, our Savior, making our lives complete and whole. We thank you for it, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father.
Thank
you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Pastor Carol.
Praise the Lord. Lord, we do thank you. You are opening our eyes to you, Lord. You're helping us to see. And Father, as we go forth, Lord, I just ask that by the Holy Spirit that we're not deceived by things, Lord, but rather that we will put you first, Lord, and realize that you are our life. You are the length of our days. You're our joy and our crown. And we praise you, Lord, as we go forth. We're growing more in you, Lord, and understanding you more and seeking you more in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Go in his love.